Delegates, can we take our seats? Welcome back from the health break. We are moving on to agenda item 6, part B. Matters arising from FAO and WHO, consideration of request for scientific advice. The relevant documents are CX, CSC 11, stroke 34, stroke 15, and we are looking at part 3 of that document. I see the flags of FAO. FAO, please. Thank you very much. May I call upon the WHO, please, to lead us in this presentation. WHO, please.
Thank you very much. In the interest of time, I will not go through the details that are laid out in the document. As is usual, what is summarized in the table 1 as the annex of part 3 of this document, starting on page 7, is the current list of requests for scientific advice as it was brought forth of the different codex committees. As you can see, it's a request from Codex Committee on Food Additives, Codex Committee on Contaminants, and so forth. Overall, there are the one point to make is that each request does not refer to one request for evaluation. It just refers to the whole priority list as it is mentioned in the report of the respective committee. The only additional point I would like to make, in addition to the 10 items that are listed in this table, there is a further item that was not included at the point of time when we prepared this document. That is a request that was brought forth from the Fisheries Committee to evaluate, to perform a risk assessment on histamine in fish. That's a short version of it. So we will plan a specific expert consultation looking at the microbiological as well as the chemical aspects of fish spoilage and the formation of biogenic amines, and with the view of harmonizing current different standards in the different fish standards. That's the basis for that. And I think I will leave it with that, Mr. Chair, and give it back to you if there are any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, WHO. I'll just take quick comments, if any. We did discuss this particular issue, I think, on Tuesday, the need for increased support for scientific advice. We have been presented with a number of requests to do our work as commission, and the need to support that work financially. So we can reiterate the conclusion that we did reach on Tuesday, to call upon the Commission members to provide support to FAO and to WHO to ensure the continuous development of scientific advice and its use in the Codex system. Thank you very much, WHO. Thank you very much, delegates. That concludes agenda item number 6, and we are moving on to agenda item number 7, and I would like to Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be at the head table. I now hand back the chair to Karen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Maniendo. Let's turn our attention now to agenda item number 7, options for physical working groups. You will recall, and as was mentioned at the beginning of this meeting, last year we agreed in this committee that the Bureau would prepare a paper after consultation with coordinating committees and with various chairs of committees, a paper laying out possible additional options, a new set of procedures in it to be, that could be used in addition to the existing procedural manual rules for physical working groups, with the idea that this new set of options that would be additional, again, it wouldn't, the intention was not to replace the existing rules for physical working groups, but to provide committees with an additional option. What we were hoping to do was lay out possible ways of working that enabled committees to construct physical working groups that truly enabled the participation of all of countries from all regions. Our experience in talking with all the coordinating committees, and I or one of the three vice chairs went to all the coordinating committees, I believe, except perhaps one. We discovered that in discussion, the focus unfortunately turned on the phrase limited participation, which was in the write-up of describing this option. And that was understandably received negatively by coordinating committees. It was unfortunate because it was exactly the opposite of our intention. Our intention was to look at ways we could ensure that participants from developing countries would be able to participate meaningfully and substantively in physical working groups. Now we say, you all know this is true, we say participation is open to everyone, but everyone doesn't come. The participation is heavily from developed countries. We recognized, therefore, that given that we had not completed the other part of the mandate, which was consultation with chairs, that this, secondly, that this discussion was much more complicated than we expected it would be. I think we can also learn from yesterday's confusion at the end of the day that there may be issues in the procedural manual that require further evaluation, that we need more time. And so the Bureau is proposing to the Executive Committee that this issue be given another year and that the next Bureau further elaborate with more careful study what these additional options might be. Another factor that has to be taken into account, and it is a very realistic issue, is that if there must be some means of supporting the travel of members from developing countries who would be the experts participating in working groups. Having just heard the presentation by the Trust Fund Secretariat, with its emphasis on helping countries participate meaningfully in committees I don't think the term working groups was used, but this seems, this idea that we're proposing to you seems to be very consistent with that goal that also seemed to be generally supported by the executive committee. So if you can agree, we would ask the committee, we, the current bureau, would ask the committee to allow the new bureau, whoever they may be, to take up this issue, further develop it, and present it to you, present some ideas to you for your consideration at next summer's executive committee meeting. Now, I would be happy to take comments and thoughts from you at this time so that the next bureau will have the benefit of your thinking, questions, any concerns about this idea, or encouragements you want to offer. The floor is open. Member for Latin America and the Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señora presidenta.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I understand that this particular format of a limited participation working group is used in the International Convention of SPS as well as at the OIE. And for the IPPC rather than the OIE. So for those who are sort of left out of these groups, they don't, are not too happy about it. They come in at the last minute. There's a lot of possibilities of discussing the documents are just not there for them. So sometimes there have been certain complaints from countries in the committee plenaries stating that the agreements that were reached in these physical working groups could not really be changed in the plenary of the committee. So I think that that could have an impact on the setup of these groups. It's not that we're objecting to them at all, but we do think that this is an issue that needs to be looked into further, definitely. There are actually two points. First of all, why and where do you have to limit the number of participants? Who decides? Because a country that has no funds to participate, well, it won't have it in the broader group or in the smaller working group. So that does not really change anything. It doesn't really count. Now, who defines the level of expertise of the people who will be participating in these working groups? These working groups discuss codex documents discussed by experts. Who are the experts? Governments sent in the person they feel is the most appropriate one. Whatever makes them take that decision, never mind, it's their sovereign decision. Now, these groups, which are not FAO or WHO experts, so to speak, how then do you decide who is the real expert? We're talking about experts, but who? I suppose that it's an expert in the field that the government feels is the adequate person. But who are the three persons that would be going to represent a specific region? I'm just wondering, how could we clarify this so that by the next meeting we can really see how we can take all of this into account? Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Latin America and the Caribbean. Just very quickly, I think I can answer your questions. The support for members from developing countries would have to be, that is an issue I recognize, we recognize, would have to be coordinated with the trust fund. So there, I don't know how that would happen right now, but it's clear that some coordination with the trust fund would have to occur. In the second point, you describe limited participation. We're talking about physical working groups of committees exactly as occur now in Codex. So governments would identify experts as they do now to send to physical working groups. There's no difference. No difference. These are exactly the same. And I might also add that we all know from our own experience that we sometimes hear criticism of physical work, of what has come out of a physical working group in a plenary session, because not everyone was present. So this is an issue we deal with now. The idea of this proposal is to try to make that at least a little better by ensuring a broader participation from all around the world. That's what we're trying to do. And it's, I mean, obviously there's a lot to be worked through, but that's the concept. Member for Europe, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Last year, when we were discussing this again, sorry, I'm having to refer to my notes, I think the Bureau decided to take this work forward in the absence of a CCGP meeting, which had been scheduled or maybe wasn't scheduled for 2011. We can certainly discuss ongoing ideas of how this might go forward. I guess it's just a question, really, whether the Bureau has the time to devote to this work or whether this might be better referred to CCGP. That's just a question, really. I have no strong feelings about it. I mean, the Bureau could probably come up with some proposals for consideration by CCGP, perhaps. But as I say, I'm not quite sure which fora this should be sitting in now. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Europe, Member for Asia.
Thank you, Chair. With permission of our head of delegation. So my comment is on the, based on my recent experience as co-chair of the working group, and I found several problems in the working group. The, as mentioned by CCRAC member, sorry, the member, the sometimes the we forget, working group forget that the working group is for the committee, mother committee, but the participants in the group thinks themselves it's an independent body, so they want to explore the further and further and expand its view, etc. So that's one of the problems. And this problem comes from that many, not a few participants in the working group are not participating in the Codex meetings at large. So the other point is that the working group participants has very narrow perspective. For example, in the working group which I'm talking about is the microbiological criteria, and the CC Mass produced the very good document on the sampling, etc., but it's not so known to the working group. So it's very important that in this sense, the chair of the mother committee should somehow give guidance to working group or some instruction or some lead even if the working group gets its own life and go somewhere else. So that's I think it's a very important point, and we have to reconfirm that there should be a tight relation between mother committee and working group. And I want to say is that some more the leadership of the commitment of the chair of the mother committee. So and please let the working group go astray, you see. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Member for Asia. That is a general comment, generally true, generally applicable, and for long time future attention. Member for Southwest Pacific, please. WHO, please.
Thank you very much. Since the Codex Trust Fund was mentioned several times, I would just like to emphasize again what we already explained at the same discussion last year, that the Codex Trust Fund can support participation of eligible countries in working groups just the same way that it does for participation in committees. So it is up to the countries to prioritize. And maybe that's a message that has to go back also again to all the countries. Maybe that is something we need to capture again in the reports. So it is up to the country how to prioritize. And in this context, the comment that was just made by the advisor from Asia is a very important one. I liked it very well, the way it was expressed. The working group works for the committee, and that the mother committee, nice term, needs to keep an eye on that the working group doesn't go astray, and that's an important message in the context when countries apply to the Codex Trust and prioritize. This also needs to make sense, participation in working groups with the corresponding committees. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. WHO, I hear no, in the comments from this body, no objection to the idea of moving forward. A very good observation by the member for Europe about the course of action to be taken. It's a little awkward to make a commitment for a bureau that is not yet constituted. That's certainly true. I suppose another option, essentially suggested by the member, would be asking general principals to do this work. And I might ask the Secretariat for advice on that matter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, last session we had discussed already this issue, and then we started the work in the Executive Committee first because it was an initiative of the Bureau, but also because the Committee on General Principles did not meet in 2011, and because the Committee also had recommended that the Commission ask the Committee on General Principles to consider the new options presented in the document. So that was in principle a request to the Commission to ask CCGP, because this is a matter for procedure. So it could be the countries or the members of the Executive Committee who want to, or chair and vice chairs who want to work on this document, could prepare prepare a document for the next session of the Committee on General Principles. That's really up to the committee to decide. Because if it came to the next session of the Executive Committee, it would be in February, there would be not much time between that and the Committee on General Principles. Committee on General Principles will meet in April 2012, so that would be a possibility, and making this proposal directly as they reflect, they are related to procedure and would be for inclusion in the procedural manual, so that would be a very good option as well. That's up to the committee, and then of course it could be, there could be this general discussion, a discussion in the Committee on General Principles, and if there is agreement to put forward any amendment to the procedural manual, then it could go to the next session of the Commission, so we would not lose any time. So that was also a possibility. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I think one of other aspect of the question or the suggestion by the member for Europe was that rather than having a proposal developed by a bureau that isn't yet constituted, could the request go directly to general principals to take up this issue? And that, and your answer is yes, that we could ask, as the Executive Committee recommend to the Commission, that the Committee on General Principles take up this question for evaluation and elaboration of options. Now I see the flag for the member of Southwest Pacific. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And really it's just a reflection over what we're seeking to respond to. I guess what we need to be careful about is what in fact is the problem, as I look at it. So there's a sense, and there's probably some intuitive judgment around the balance of committees, subcommittees, or working groups, how physical working groups, how well they work, how they connect back into plenary, and some of the discussion I've heard is areas that you experience in the management of those committees. But fundamentally, though, what is the problem? So I quite like the idea of GP taking a leading role in this issue. I think rather than just cast it out there saying let's see some recommendations in relation to physical working groups, the first part of that exercise I would consider would need to be where's the current weakness? And give us some data around that. You know, is it the fact it's a participation issue in physical working groups? Is it the fact that the observations of the chairs is that there's not enough engagement of a range of developing country participants in those working groups? In fact, you know, having now chaired a number of those over a long period of time, they have particular benefits when you use them, but if you're not careful, they just become another plenary session themselves. They become, you're doubling the work effort in a year. You're getting to a point in terms of the quick development of standards, but the number of hours invested to get to that point is probably, in the old days, as you might describe it, 10 years' effort, particularly when you do hold meetings every other year. So again, I just say that before we invest lots of time in this, I think we need to really be very considerate of what we're actually going to ask a group to do, and the basis for why they're going to do that.
Thank you very much, Member for Southwest Pacific. In fact, you raise an excellent point, and it is one that we have heard numerous times from the experience of one country very close to you. Geographically and literally. And that is the experience of New Zealand and the Meat Hygiene Committee in working through a working group that had good representation with a smaller number of people and actually worked extremely efficiently, very quickly, with good support by the mother committee. It was a good example of how Codex can work efficiently. And I have heard this example accepted and portrayed many times as an effective way of working. So that's one aspect of this idea. It clearly can work because it has in the past. So we would look to that experience and see whether there are lessons to be drawn from that experience as we look to develop possibly another set of options. And I emphasize what we would be asking general principles to develop is an alternative set of options. The rules that remain that are in the procedural manual, there's no question of letting them stand. This would just be another approach available to committees. Do you have a comeback, Southwest Pacific? And then I turn to the advisor for Africa, member for Africa, Southwest Pacific.
Agreeing with what you're saying, but there is also a counterpoint to make as well, in that my colleagues aside from New Zealand that could cajole working groups very well and can manage those outcomes quite speedily, depends on the agenda. And what I've observed, particularly with physical working groups, is if you've got a very difficult piece of work that is almost impossible to progress in a plenary session, my experience has been that I'd prefer to have a physical working group that's equally as difficult. And the reason I say that is because you may as well have the difficult discussion in that particular forum with another 3 days to work through the issues than be jammed with one-off comments in plenary where you can't get past what the real issue is. You can't go down the level to understand what the conceptual frameworks are and frames of reference are that delegates are drawing from that leaves the gap between resolution of the problem. So quite often I find with those physical working groups, depending on the type of issue that you're trying to resolve through them, they're better to be a mirror, if you can, of the plenary group. And I don't mind their size because at least you've got the time to work through those issues. And equally, by attracting as many newcomers, and I'll use that word because that's what I prefer, to the agenda, you actually give everyone a really good foundation over 4 or 5 days about what are the issues here and what are the pathways forward, where that's not the opportunity presented to you in those big plenary forums. And I think that, you know, the sort of tool we'd be looking as an outcome maybe from GP on this is, again, capturing some of that sort of thinking that chairs can draw from or upon, committees can utilise in the future and keep building on that, which gives you just another tool in the tool bag to deal with some of these issues.
Thank you, Member for Southwest Pacific. Another tool in the tool bag is a workmanlike proposal. And it sounds as though you are virtually volunteering to participate in this work. We'll be expecting that, I think. Member for Africa, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With due respect to the matter being referred to the CCGP, I would like to bring to the attention that in our CC Africa, this was also very, very well debated. We hope that CCGP can have time to review some of these reports. And we have our report in paragraph 33, where several concerns from CC Africa were brought, and it could be good that those are considered. I won't read because it's quite a long paragraph. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you, Member for Africa. Certainly, general principles would have the benefit of the discussion here and the coordinating committee reports. If I may conclude then, it seems the conclusion of this committee is to send a request to general principles through the commission that the commission take up work on development of potential alternative guidance for physical working groups designed to achieve more, designed to ensure actual regional participation from all regions of the world, and hopefully to expedite work as quickly as possible. Thank you very much. Now, having concluded this item, when I intervened to at the adoption of the agenda, I believe I added a thought that we had hoped to also discuss the possibility of the executive committee in some way beginning to consider the challenges facing the commission as it moves into the 21st century and the information technology age, recognizing that information technology has changed the way we all work every day. Increasingly, we are working in our agencies with video conferencing, and that in the future, certainly information technology will affect the way we work in Codex, and it may even be part of the solution to the problems of participation. But the challenges, the way is not clear, and the challenges are many, and not the least of them, you know, not only available bandwidth, but financial constraints in the organizations with which we work, FAO and WHO. So What I would propose to you, having discussed this idea with the Secretariat, is that if you are comfortable with this idea, we could ask the Secretariat to prepare a paper on systems that are currently available for practical use. We're all aware of the working group organized by Martin Lima of Argentina that was so well conducted and widely considered to be an example for what could happen in CODEX. But to look at such systems, the practical ways forward in implementing such systems, and one example is that it is managing such an electronic working group as Martin Lima did, requires an enormous amount of technical expertise and time. So that the Secretariat would look at the practical issues, the benefits, the challenges, constraints, and the costs, and bring some of that, bring that information back to this executive committee next year. So if you agree, then that is a way for us perhaps to move forward on that issue, recognizing that there are real possibilities but also real challenges. Any thoughts? I see no comments. We'll move forward that way. And thanks to the Secretariat very much for being willing to do this creative thinking for us, Mr. Hyland. Next, we move to agenda item. That was already part of eight. So we're already in eight. So now we are at other business. There are several items that have been suggested here. I believe there are three. An issue raised by the coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean concerning the terms of reference for fresh fruits and vegetables, as elaborated in a paper room document. Well, it may be a room document. It was distributed or not by Columbia. It's a little unclear at this point. A request to discuss the chair's retreats and a way forward there, and to talk about some of the advantages of the Friends of the Chair process, some of the lessons learned and positive aspects of that experience. So we could begin with fresh fruits and vegetables and that issue. And I turn to the coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean.
Muchas gracias, señora presidenta.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The delegation of Colombia has asked me, as a CCLAC coordinator, to present a document which I don't think you have before you, but which they will be submitted to the commission. And as chair of the committee, I would just like to tell you how I perceive this thing. It's need to interpret the terms of reference correctly as regards UNECE. Indeed, there is a consultation process that is starting, and we've been talking about harmonization of standards. Now, if the objective of this consultation process is to reach harmonization, what does harmonization imply? It means that there may be two identical standards, one in CODEX and one in UNECE, or else that there has to be a certain degree of flexibility. So I think it's important to say that if UNECE is open to all members of the UN, in practice it is a regional organization because there are very non-European countries taking part in their work, whereas CODEX has a much broader membership and much more diverse, and so it covers a lot of more circumstances, situations, and interests. So CODEX standards need to be much more flexible and much broader, perhaps, than those of the UNECE.
So I would appreciate it if we could just discuss this question of the interpretation of the terms of reference. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean. Perhaps the Secretary could read for our benefit the terms of reference for fresh fruits and vegetables and clarify for us the particular issue that's arising in this commission with adoption, pertaining to adoption of a standard coming forward from fresh fruits and vegetables. Madam Secretary, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The terms of reference, I should probably read the whole terms of reference as such, because it's, okay, under point A, we have to elaborate worldwide standards and codes of practice as may be appropriate for fresh fruit and vegetables. Under point B, to consult with the UNECE Working Party on agricultural quality standards in the elaboration of worldwide standards and codes of practice with particular regard to ensuring that there is no duplication of standards or codes of practice and that they follow the same broad format, and C, to consult as necessary with other international organizations. Now, there is a footnote to this part B, saying that the Working Party on Agricultural Quality Standards of the United Nations Economic Commission for Europe, 1, may recommend that a worldwide codex standard for fresh fruits and vegetables should be elaborated and submit its recommendation either to the Codex Committee on Fresh Fruits and Vegetables for consideration or to the Commission for approval. 2, may prepare proposed draft standards for fresh fruits or vegetables at the request of the Codex Committee on Fresh Fruits and Vegetables or of the Commission for distribution by the Codex Secretariat at Step 3 of the Codex Procedure, and for further action by the Codex Committee on Fresh Fruits and Vegetables. 3, may wish to consider proposed draft standards and draft standards for fresh fruits and vegetables and transmit comments on them to the Codex Committee on Fresh Fruits and Vegetables at Steps 3 and 6 of the Codex Procedure. And 4, may perform specific tasks in relation to the elaboration of standards for fresh fruits and vegetables at the request of the Codex Committee on Fresh Fruits and Vegetables. Codex proposed draft standards and draft standards for fresh fruits and vegetables at Steps 3 and 6 of the Codex Procedure should be submitted to the UNECE Secretariat for obtaining comments. So this is what is currently in the terms of reference of the Codex Committee on Fresh Fruits and Vegetables. Parts of it have never been used, I have to say. Certainly, what is in the footnote under 1, 2, and maybe 1 and 2 have not been used, certainly. like UNECE standards have never been taken at Step 3 as proposed draft codex standards and then been further elaborated, which was a proposal that at some point had been made by a joint working group that had been called by the OECD scheme between the secretariats of codex, UNECE and OECD, which had recommended that should codex want to elaborate a standard for a product where UNECE standards already existed, the UNECE standard could be taken at Step 3 in order to have already a draft and then be further elaborated where all necessary codex considerations could be included. That was discussed lengthily at the Commission. It was rejected. So it is we have a part of the mandate that we never used. The other parts maybe are not exactly clear, and it seems to be causing issues within the committee, problems in the committee. So it is certainly a worthwhile discussion to have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary. The specific issue being raised now is that UNECE, I believe, tell me if this is not true, but I believe that UNECE is opposing, has submitted comments opposing adoption of a standard, since saying that consultation with UNECE has not occurred. So they would oppose adoption of a standard at step 8 because they haven't been consulted. And that's, if I would ask the chair of the committee, who's also here as coordinator of CCLAC, if that's her understanding.
Muchas gracias, señor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, that is the situation. UNECE was present at the last meeting of the committee that took place from the 1st to the 5th of May this year. And as far as I remember, UNECE had its meeting a week or two ago discussing the Chilean standards, and it was not possible to reach an agreement on certain elements of that. And as such, they are going to request that the Commission does not approve the Chilean standard, despite the fact that this had been approved by the Fresh Fruits and Vegetables Committee at 5-8. The problem is that there was no comment made at the time, and quite frankly, as Chair, I don't understand why the situation is now as it is vis-à-vis UNECE.
Thank you very much. Coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean, member for Europe, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's just to be quite clear what we're actually discussing. I think I've got an extract of the report of the session of the UNECE meeting, and it's slightly different from what you're suggesting. It seems that the specialised section thought it would be, and I'm quoting here, the specialised section thought it would be appropriate to ask the Codex Alimentarius Commission to postpone the adoption of the Codex Standard for Fresh Chili Peppers. There seems to be a need delegation, UNECE delegations were asked to inform their national Codex focal points about the country's need to have additional time to check the provisions of the draft standard with the industry. So I'm not sure if it was opposition to, I think it was probably, it suggests here that it's postponement of the adoption subject to further consultation of countries rather than, I'm not sure if it's UNEC countries or whatever. So let's just be quite clear about what we're talking about here, because it will impact on the sort of terms of reference that Mr. Hyland was talking about earlier.
Thank you, member for Europe. That's asking to hold at step 8 and opposing adoption is close to a distinction without a difference. But in any case, I understand from the Secretariat that we have not yet received written comments from UNECE. So, in a sense, the purpose of this discussion is to, I think we're not asking for a conclusion of the CC exec, except possibly how to take up a revision, a reassessment of the terms of reference, which are rather lengthy and clearly contain text that isn't used and perhaps isn't relevant and is certainly confusing. So that could be the recommendation from this body with respect to further work on the terms of reference, and I ask the Secretary to suggest a way forward that's practical and achievable.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, of course, this will be also discussed at the Commission, since it relates to the terms of reference of a specific committee. The usual practice is that first it should be discussed in the committee concerned. So that would be because there was some related discussion from what we have heard. But to have perhaps the Committee on Fresh Fruit and Vegetables reconsider its terms of reference, which is practice which happens in various committees, so that could be first discussed in the Committee on Fresh Fruit and Vegetables. At the Commission, we will also have a general discussion, but normally each committee is responsible for its terms of reference, and that would be for the committee to consider the terms of reference. And then if there is any change proposed according to the usual process, it would go to the Committee on General Principles, if it meets, and then to the Commission. But in general, terms of reference of committees are discussed first in the committee concerned. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. So then may we conclude that the recommendation from the Executive to the Commission is that the Commission ask Fresh Fruits and Vegetables to consider its terms of reference and revisions that it thinks should be made, and refer those to the Committee on General Principles. Are there any objections to this proposal? I see no flags. Thank you. We will conclude that matter. And then turn next to the continued interest by chairpersons of the Commission in having retreats at some predictable schedule at which issues can be discussed, such as means of achieving consensus, which we have done with great, we actually had an extremely good working group, extremely good retreat for the chairs that produced several important products, one of which is the evaluation form that we now use across Codex with every meeting of a commission and subsidiary committees. Are there any comments? The member for Europe had made a comment on this point. I think what I would seek input, thoughts from the executive, and I can also tell you that at the planned informal meeting of the chairs, we anticipate talking about the retreats that we would like to have and possible issues for discussion at those retreats, perhaps a number of years into the future, thinking perhaps every 2 years might be a reasonable frequency. But I just want to open this question up, this matter up, for your discussion if you have any questions, and I will be happy to answer them, and vice chairs I think there are no other chairs in this room who have participated. Are there any comments? Are there any questions? Vice Chair Dave.
Thank you, Madam Chair. During the adoption of the agenda on the first day, the member from Europe had mentioned that they would like to hear the report of the last year's retreat. What? Right. Something, I mean, that is my recollection. No? Okay. Sorry.
Member for Europe, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just perhaps a clarification if I wasn't very clear. I just asked about what the plans were for future chair retreats and whether they had been useful, was one request. And then had an additional point, which was around how the process of the Friends of the Chair had gone, not the outcomes of Friends of the Chair meetings, but how the process had been received and how it was going. So those were the two issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Europe and Vice Chair Dave. As there are, Member for North America.
Thank you. As the home of four committee chairs, we feel compelled to comment that, in general, our chairs found this to be very useful, the retreat. And I think as we've talked this week, we've seen instances where committees haven't always operated in a consistent fashion, and some of us have raised questions about some procedural things in some of the committees. So certainly that speaks to the need to have opportunities for chairs to come together to discuss their common issues and problems and perhaps help one another, as well as promote the consistency, the procedural consistency we'd like to see in our committees.
Thank you very much, Member for North America. I can report to you that is generally the experience of the chairs. They have found sharing their experiences very useful because committees have different personalities and chairs have different relationships with their committees, and it can be quite surprising sometimes what one experience, how things work in one committee compares to how matters work in another committee, even within consistent use of procedural rules. So if the executive committee can agree, we will go on record then as saying we support continued retreats for the chairs at some interval. I suggested every 2 years, budget obviously being sufficient. And if there is no opposition to this proposal, then opposition? Clarification, member for Southwest Pacific.
I'm just thinking about the language, because a lot of us have host governments that we're working with that fund our attendance at some of these meetings, and I think retreat just gives a sense of a spa and a pool. I think
there was no spa and there was no pool.
There wasn't any alcohol either, I expect. But I suspect the sort of language is it's a workshop. You know, it's a facilitated workshop, or it's a workshop with a clear objective of sharing experiences and sharpening the codex interface or something. And that helps. That certainly helps a number of countries attend those meetings.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You certainly have experience in this realm, having hosted meetings at places called Surfer's Paradise. So I understand the intensity of your appreciation of this fact. You're welcome. Are we capable, in fact, given the rules, of using a term like workshop for chairs? Is there any problem with that? Okay. There's no procedural issue. Okay. Then I think we should call it that the chair's monastic workshop. I'm not serious. The chair's workshop. Okay. Very good. Thank you very much. That is an excellent point, Southwest Pacific. All right. Now we move to, and thank you all, by the way, for your support on behalf of the chairs. The final question really is for me, from the member for Europe, and from him through all of you, to give you some feedback on how the Friends of the Chair process worked. This was a process that, as you know, has been used in FAO broadly, in WHO, in WTO. It had just never been used in Codex, but it's a completely legitimate way for us to work. And I can tell you that we worked with the benefit of a professional negotiator who did his best to act as a mediator in those meetings. The group came up with, has come up, as you know, with two proposals. One that argues for non-adoption of ractopamine, and the other that argues for adoption. They both have alternative possibilities that involve other activities that would lead, with specific timelines or not, depending on the proposals, to consideration of other issues and, at least for the pro-adoption group, ultimately to resolution of the issue. What isn't clear from those two proposals is that the discussions in those three meetings caused the surfacing and putting on the table of some very, very creative ideas that certainly would have never come out in plenary discussion and, in fact, had never been discussed as possible solutions to this issue in all the meetings that we had had. The reaction or the response of members of the Friends of the Chair, and there are members in this room who took part in these meetings, and I can ask them to comment and add their perspectives, was that the meetings were, I heard people say they were unlike any codex discussions they'd ever taken part in. They were more open, more honest, candid, free discussions than they had ever thought possible in codex. And they found that very encouraging, because if that is the sort of process that we can engage in codex, and by the way, I would add, hopefully at a stage rather earlier than when a document is held at step 8, then we have the chance of avoiding issues getting to be so difficult and so problematic right at the end of their lifespan. I think the members, almost to a person, maybe to a person, who participated in these meetings, and there was, by the way, excellent participation. Virtually every member invited attended virtually every meeting, which also shows a level of commitment that was truly impressive, found these discussions enriching and encouraging. Not to say they weren't frustrating at times, but I could turn to the member for North America, the coordinator for Africa, both of whom have attended, and let us hear some of your thoughts as well. North America?
Thank you, Madam Chair. In fact, I would like to echo a lot of the comments that you've made. Definitely, the process, because of the size of the group and because of the mandate that it was given, allowed really an open discussion with really making available on the table, I would say, the real impediments or showstoppers that seemed to be the rationale behind the positions that are made by each of the groups. So essentially, items that were discussed were definitely beyond those that you can hear in a regular intervention at a plenary session, where, you know, you have still a position and you have a rationale, but it may not be the actual rationale behind the position. That element of candidness, openness was very useful, and it allowed sometimes difficult discussions as well to happen. It did not lead to having one position at the end of the day, but again, speaking about the process, to answer the question for the member from Europe, you know, the process definitely allowed that flow of discussion and putting on the table some items that, as an organization, the Commission will have to discuss for the future. So, again, beyond ractopamine, everybody acknowledged that the questions that were discussed will be probably discussed further during the lifetime of our Commission deliberations.
Thank you, Member for North America. I'd like to ask Coordinator for Africa and the Member for Asia to speak, because he was also a participant. I'm sorry, I was looking this way. You weren't in my field of vision. And Member for Latin America has asked to speak as well. We only have about 7 minutes, maybe eight, left in our meeting. So, Coordinator for Africa first.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I must say that that was a very unique experience for me, participating in the Friends of the Chair in our three meetings. It wasn't anything like what happens here. We had open and frank discussions. There were alternatives, giving and re-giving and re-evaluated. And I thought that brought the ingenuity and the potential this group we have of alternatives that we may not have even thought of when we prepare to attend a meeting. An alternative is brought on the table for consideration. And it has been, for me, very enriching to say that the issues are not all cast in a box that should be carried. There are many other ways to look at the issue, and we must be flexible to keep the family intact, to keep this organization intact. It was a good experience, and I would like to see more of that happen.
Thank you. Coordinator for Africa.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I totally agree with the previous two speakers. Just I'd like to add only one thing. This is, I attended Friend of Chair for ractopamine and also the GM labeling. That occasion allowed us to look at our activity somehow objectively, how the opposing parties are thinking, and we are asked to make some way to how to solve the problem somehow, not as the partisan of one party or another, but just from somehow objective standpoint, and then we can have some way that can be accepted, I hope, by two parties. So the group really thought about how the codex can arrive at consensus, not just from its own, the country's interest, but as the member of the whole member countries. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Asia. The point made, I think, by all three participants is that we had two slightly different approaches, the facilitated meeting surrounding the biotechnology text, which did result in a compromise and a resolution to that issue, and the ractopamine discussion, which as yet hasn't resulted in a compromise, but I still have hope. The point made is that the process of discussing through negotiation was so important. It took us to places we never have gone before in Codex. And what we also learned was that it forced a level of preparation, thinking, and analysis that we hadn't previously brought to discussion of these issues, and that was a huge help. That is, I firmly believe that is the way forward for Codex, that developing these skills learning the importance of that degree of preparation and learning how to talk to each other that way, those ways, and chairs being able to mediate will greatly help us mature as an organization in the future. It's completely consistent with core codex principles of openness, transparency, and inclusiveness. Member for Latin America and the Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señora.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, in fact, we didn't participate in the group of friends of the chair. Nevertheless, this is a frequently used tool in a number of fora, and we feel it's highly important, notably because the difference between this format and other meeting formats is that you really can get delegates involved. And it's possible to get beyond the formal points of view expressed in plenary to get really to the nub of the issues, and through that it's possible to come up with unexpected solutions, things which might not have been aired before because it is assumed that counterparts would not have agreed. And so really the genuine difference between this and the formal meetings is tantamount to opening a Pandora's box, and therefore I feel it's essential that we do go down this path, and that Codex will, in future years, might want to look at issues through these informal channels, since they genuinely do facilitate dialogue. Given that in plenary it's often not possible to reach such results, or there may be an unfair result and one which leaves people uncomfortable or unhappy. Therefore, such formats, these informal formats, do enable us to make genuine progress. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Member for Latin America and the Caribbean. Well, on that positive note, I think we will conclude discussion of this positive way forward for the Commission that I hope, as the years go on, you all have an opportunity to participate in. And I hope that as we develop the manual for negotiation skills for chairs and mediation skills, negotiation skills for delegates and mediation skills for chairs, that we can use this tool to help us work better and for the goals of this commission to which we are all dedicated. I thank you very much for your excellent work in the past few days. We thank our interpreters again for giving us voice. And I adjourn this meeting. Thank you very much. Oh, with a note from the Secretariat about the last most important thing we do, adoption of the report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, it will be. The report will be available at 1 p.m. and then the adoption of the report will be from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Friday. So Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock, the adoption, and the report is available 1 hour before at 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, delegates. Thank you for your good work. Enjoy the afternoon and the morning.